I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This hour of the Greg Hill Show is brought to you by Northeast Men's Clinic.
It's the Greg Hill Morning Show with your host, Greg Hill. Streaming live from WEEI.com and the Radio.com app. And now, it's time for the Greg Hill Morning Show on Sports Radio WEEI.
Coach, was the decision not to play Patrick Chung tonight health-related, or did it have something to do with today's news?
Yeah, Pat hasn't played all preseason.
I mean, I get it.
There's your statement.
It's your job. You got to ask.
Yeah.
But is there an expectation that he's going to say anything?
No. I mean, you shouldn't be thinking that. I mean, we've been around Belichick, and if you've been in the media long enough to know, yeah, you're going to ask those questions, and you're ultimately, you're going to get made, most of the time, you're going to be made to look like a fool. I mean, you see what he did to Steve Burton when he asked about Josh Gordon. But in this situation, you know, I guess you got to ask, but that's what you're going
to
get.
Why should people have to change their behavior around a jerk? Like, why should you have to be polite?
Curtis.
Because that guy is a dink.
Here's the deal, right? If he says anything, what positive comes out of it?
I don't know. There are reporters that are there, credentialed by the team, to cover what goes on.
Okay.
The biggest story yesterday, by far, was Patrick Chung being
indicted. They put out a statement.
Oh, wow. I mean, that statement was just cleared everything up. I mean, why even show up?
But there's no evidence. See, like, this is always funny to me. Like, what do you want them to say? This is what would you, if you're Bill Belichick, or if this situation happens under your watch, what are you saying that's positive that's going to come out of this?
I would say, obviously, I'm concerned regarding Patrick Chung. He's been a great leader for this organization for a long time. He's made a lot of great decisions, both on the field and off. I wish him the best here, and obviously we'll react when the investigation's done.
So what are you concerned about?
I'm concerned about his future with the team. This is not a good situation.
Well,
we tell all our players that they should be careful about what they do on and off the field.
If you're concerned, does he have a problem?
I'm not going to discuss the personal health of a player. You can't do that.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, you obviously deal with one player, Josh Gordon, who has, you know, we know that has some
issues. Well,
there's
a difference between having an addiction and having...
But that's what the media will then do, right?
Hold on a second. Maybe Chung can blame this on Josh Gordon.
Ooh.
I mean, is that possible?
I don't know if he wants to turn it that way. I mean,
well,
it would be a good look on Chung's part.
I think Wiggy makes a pretty good point, Curtis, even though you can't stand the head coach of the New England Patriots. I think Wiggy's point is that theoretically, I think we all assume that Patrick Chung came to Bill and told Bill about this sometime after the incident occurred in June.
Right.
And I'm assuming that he had some sort of an explanation for Bill Belichick, which is either the intrusion. So for those who don't know, we discussed this earlier, the police in New Hampshire were responding to the home of Patrick Chung because the alarm was tripped. He has a home security system. When they did that, they entered the home to make sure everything was okay. And that is when they discovered the cocaine at the home of Patrick Chung.
Right.
Theoretically, couldn't that have been left by the intruder? Is that not possible? Whoever was in there and tripped the alarm?
Well, Chung was framed.
He was framed.
But
that's,
I mean, but
that's the point, though,
so,
because
Bill,
he wasn't there.
Right. So Bill, I'm assuming, believes his player.
Right.
And so what is he going to say last night? I mean, what is he? What
I just said, Patrick Chung has been a great player for a long time. He's represented the Patriots well, both on and off the field. We will let this investigation play out, but Patrick has my complete support. Or don't have to add the complete support. That's it.
Breaking news, Chris Curtis leaving for an opportunity in PR.
But by him him having to now talk about Patrick Chung being a great player and this, that, now that, like, to me, that's like an indication that he did something wrong.
That he's human as guy, that he reacts emotion?
No, but we all know the Bill's personality with the media is, you know, I don't really trust the media. More like all players don't trust the media because there's some type of angle you're trying to get to. So his thing is, hey, we're going to put out the most generic statement possible because this is what we feel like is best for the team. Now, the players that are in this locker room don't have to worry about it, concern themselves with answering questions. They can just, you know, refer to the statement that we put out, and Bill is able to eliminate any other follow-up questions that might come his way on this situation when we don't know what happened. Like, we don't have enough information on what really took place.
I mean, do we really believe? I mean, I know there's a lot of you and a lot of us who like to believe the worst about people. But do we really believe that Patrick Chung is leaving cocaine around his home in plain view?
Well, you've done the many stuff with a lot of athletes. Have you ever done anything with Patrick Chung?
Drugs?
No, not drugs.
No, I've never.
You ever had pizza with Patrick Chung?
Yes. Have you ever had pizza? Or like,
So Patrick Chung, for instance, we do Greg Hill Foundation event at Del Frisco's every year for marathon survivors, Seaport Strong. Patrick Chung is a guy who always comes and gets behind the bar and is a celebrity bartender at the event. He seems like he's a good guy.
Right. And I understand that I've said this story before, and you never know what somebody's doing in their personal life. My locker was right next to Darren Chopper. And if you don't know that, with the incident with Darren Chopper, he's been convicted on multiple charges of raping women. And I sat next to him for a couple of years and had no idea.
Did your locker reek of chicken parmesan?
No. Okay. I could never get a good chicken parm when I left New England. But I've done stuff with Patrick Chung, and he does a lot of stuff. He had the stuff where he did for kids reading books, and so he seems like a good guy, right? And he seems like, you know what, even if you were doing something a little bit crazy, he seems like he's smart enough to not just leave the residue or a line or two on his table when he's not home. So I just don't think that it was him, and if it was, I'm like, man, that's a bad look.
Well, people have, I mean, listen, it's no big news. There are people that hang around, people that you grew up with. I'm sure that when you were there, you had to clear your entourage of some of the bad apples that you used to hang out with.
Well, yeah, I mean, you grow up in a certain way, and you have friends, and there are a lot of people who do cocaine nowadays for recreational use.
I think I would currently clear your entourage of whoever told you that wearing a True Religion shirt in 2019 was an appropriate fashion choice.
Oh, okay. 12 years ago.
Should I wear a white wrinkled up shirt like you have on? I mean, what are we wearing?
What's wrong with my white wrinkled tee? I mean, it was sitting there on the floor. I grabbed it. I got another day out of it.
It basically describes him, white and wrinkled.
That is true, Daniel. It's very true.
Yeah, you're right.
I should have thought about that. But he is an owner.
But did you used to have guys that like you grew up with that were bad guys that came along with you when you
I did, but they knew not to put me in harm's way.
They did?
Yes. So they knew, like, okay, if we are going to do what we do, then, you know, we're not going to put you in a situation where things can happen because you are headed on the right path. And that's, if I'm Patrick Chung, that's what I'm saying. If I know, because the thing is, he probably knows, if it is one of his people, he probably knows who it is because, you know, he's hung out with these people. And like I said, you know, there are a lot of people who do cocaine for recreational use. Not that it's a good thing. So he probably knows, hey, listen, I can't believe what you did. He's probably said something to that person if it was somebody in his crew and said, why would you do that, you know, and leave it behind? You should know better.
Do the Patriots, let me ask you this. I'm going to go ahead and go down the sports radio route on this, Curtis.
Look out.
Okay?
Here we go.
Do the Patriots need to react differently to this in light of everything involved in Aaron Hernandez? Because I think that we would all say that Aaron Hernandez hung around with a bunch of bad apples.
Okay.
Right? So do the Patriots need to be more careful in the way they deal with concern over Patrick Chung in light of that?
No, because, like, you got to understand, the Patriots, they're paying these guys tons of money. These guys are grown men, right? So you shouldn't have to, as an organization, go to every player and go, you know, they know it when they come up through these rookie symposiums and, you know, throughout the year. There are people that, you know, we all heard the Chris Carter say you should have a fall guy, right?
Yeah.
So these guys all know, right? You're an adult. Be careful of who you surround yourself with. The organization shouldn't have to tell you that and monitor what you're doing as a player. And so when you look at this situation, but then again, this situation here, we can't even say that because we don't even know if it's one of Patrick Chung's friends. We don't know if he's having work done on his house or anything. That he could have picked up the phone like, what? There's coke in my house?
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
Oh, it is. Rick James told us that. He did tell us that.
This is David from Florida. Hey, David.
Good evening. Good morning.
It's morning. Please. It's morning, not evening. What's going on, David?
Yeah, good morning. Yes. Curtis, I entirely agree with everything you're saying. And I mean, as great a coach as Belichick is, he's so defiant here. And I have I know why he does it. But, I mean, I'm wondering if he's genuine that way, if he really believes that stonewalling the media is the best thing, is the best approach, or if he just enjoys being a pain in the you-know-what. And the other thing, I'm sorry.
No, I think it clearly works for him.
There's a method to the madness people are missing.
Yeah. Yes, right?
And that method.
I got one other question, too, though.
Yeah.
David, the method to the madness is very simple, right? He does this. So now the players all, what do they do? You, like you just said to me, Greg, we fall in line, and I don't even play for Bill no more.
You fall.
He goes over the top of it. It's so draconian. So I mean, you know, he can make a genuine statement, like Curtis, like you said. I mean, Patrick has been a very vital part of our organization. I have a lot of respect for him, and I hope everything works out. And we'll comment on it later. And then, if anybody asks a follow up question, then he could go into denial mode. I've said what I said. I'm not going to say any more. Or I've already spoken. Do you have anything else to say, Mr. Coach Belichick? No. I mean, he could go into his denials at any point in time. So, I mean, it's just...
If he says something more than he said, that's a story. He doesn't want this to be... Right, Wiggy?
Well, it's not only that, right? It's that's part of it, Greg. You're right on that. But the other part where people miss out on a lot of this is what this... By him doing what he does... This is the culture around here. So players come in. We saw it with Chad Ochocinco have come here and Randy Moss. Players now come here and go, okay, here's how things are done there when we're dealing with the media. And the reason why he does it, because he knows it's a domino effect. And if he gives any little bit of room and he kind of acts a certain way, then the players follow his lead. And then what you end up having in is what we saw with Rex Ryan with the Jets.
Right.
Now the players are saying whatever.
You mean like when Welker went out
just like players now, if you have a certain persona and you're my coach, guess what? I take on that persona of my coach.
Yeah.
And so Bill's persona is I stonewall the media, I give them nothing, and now as a player, hey, if I'm asked about it, I just refer to the statement.
But certainly Welker, with the foot references, was one of the only guys to step out of line when it came to what Bill wanted.
Right.
And Bill was furious about that.
Because did it do anything positive for the team?
It made us all laugh.
Right. I mean, it made us laugh.
Not for the team, no.
But right, you're right.
Behind closed doors. And now if you let Welker do it, then the next guy does it. And then you got some young kid who doesn't know what to say and goes, oh, yeah, I was hanging out with Patrick and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Talking like Ray Lewis did really hurt him from winning two Super Bowl championships. Ray Lewis was the biggest trash talker, you know, showboater there's ever lived. Danced for 15 minutes on the field before games.
Look who Ray,
that really prevented him from winning Super Bowls.
No, but look who Ray Lewis played for. He played for Brian Billick.
That's the point, you can win the other way. This isn't the reason the Patriots win. The reason the Patriots win is because they have Tom Brady.
How many Super Bowls has Brian Billick won?
He won one.
Okay, so yes, it may work for you once, but in Bill's case, he looks at it and goes, listen, we've been to 9 Super Bowls with the way that we train our guys here. So yeah, it might work in other ways, but I'd rather go the Bill Belichick way, which we know works, you know, more than often, you know?
Yeah. Wiggy's here. when he comes in next week, he'll be wearing an Ed Hardy shirt.
This is
Joel. Hello, Joel.
True Religion's back, Greg.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Stores everywhere.
What's up, Joel? What's up?
I'm totally thinking about it's got to be a setup, because if you think about it, look what happened to Rob Gronkowski. Somebody broke into his house when he was not there. They stole his gun.
Yeah.
And now somebody goes into Patrick Chung's house, and now all of a sudden, plain view, there's coke there.
Yeah.
I mean,
setup.
It's got to be somebody had set him up, or something was just like, you know, hey, this is Patrick Chung's house. You know, let's rob some stuff.
Yeah.
While they were robbing some stuff, they decided to have a party.
Yeah.
And they said, oh, the alarm tripped. Let's go.
Well, listen, I mean, if you think that everybody on Lake Winnipesaukee doesn't know that Patrick Chung has bought a house
right.
over there.
Right, yeah, come on.
Right?
You'd be naive.
And they also know exactly what his schedule is
right.
in June, on June 25th.
Right.
I think we're up against the clock. But, yes, I think it is. And this is going to enrage Derek the Steelers fan.
Oh,
and we're going to hear from him at some point.
Bad signal.
I'm not being an apologist. I'm not being a homer. But I think that it is theoretically possible that somebody broke in there and had a party and did what they did, and it's not right for Patrick Chung to be charged.
I don't believe that one, Greg.
You're reaching on that one.
All right.
617-779-7937 is the number. Or you can text on the text line, which is 37937. News is coming up, and we'll discuss the fact that Newton residents are being warned to be very cautious today in Newton. And it's not because somebody is selling knockoff generic caviar or something or bottled water. Mm-hmm. It's an actual real irrational fear in Newton. We'll get to that when we get to the news coming up.
This is Boston Sports Station. Now here's what's trending on WEEI.
Trending now brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. It's the ultimate seafood lovers weekend, Thursday through Sunday at the 99 Restaurants. Try the ultimate surf and turf with an 8-ounce New York strip paired with grilled shrimp and fresh local scallops, or their famous colossal lobster rolls. The 99, always the real deal. Here's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com. Patriots beat the Panthers 10-3 last night in their third preseason game. Tom Brady saw his first action of the season playing the entire first quarter and a little bit of the second. Brady went 8-for-12 passing for 75 yards. Brian Hoyer did not play. Jared Stidham relieved Brady in the second and played the rest of the game, going 15-for-19, passing for 134 yards. And Steven Gostkowski missed a 43-yard field goal. Patriots move to 3-0 this preseason. Their final preseason game is against the Giants next Thursday at Gillette. And, of course, as we were just discussing, Patriot safety Patrick Chung indicted on August 8th in Belknap County, New Hampshire, for felony possession of cocaine. That indictment stemming from an incident on June 25th near his home at Lake Winnipesaukee. No one else charged in the incident. He's scheduled to be arraigned August 28th at 8:45 a.m. 12 minutes. That was the time it took for Brock Holt to hit a walk-off double. Greg, your favorite, the walk-off.
Well, and how about the fact that this week was Jimmy Fund Radio Telethon Week,
yeah.
And Brock Holt is the Jimmy Fund captain for
awesome.
The Red Sox, and nearly every amazing kid that we got to talk to on Tuesday and Wednesday was talking about their great relationship with Brock Holt. So
yeah, which
I think
is spectacular.
I think it's pretty cool that he got it done.
So that capped off what wound up being a 5-4 win over the Royals yesterday at Fenway. That game originally suspended in the 10th on August 7th, but resumed yesterday. Sox start an 8-game West Coast road trip tonight against the Padres in San Diego. 9:10 pregame on the Shaw's and Star Market WEEI Red Sox Radio Network. First pitch at 10:10 with Joe Castiglione and Josh Lewin. Celtics legend Bob Cousy was awarded with the Presidential Medal of Freedom by President Trump yesterday in an Oval Office ceremony. That's what's trending now on WEEI and WEEI.com.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
Nick is off today because he was Foxborough fanboying it last night, but Wiggy is here, and Wiggy was telling me during the break that he is very excited that the former president, Barack Obama, will be buying Whit Grosbeck's home on
Nice crib, man.
On Martha's Vineyard.
Man, I'll tell you, that president money ain't nothing to play with. Ain't the house like $14-15 million?
I mean, yeah, it's $14.8 million that Obama is paying for the home that is owned by the majority owner of the Boston Celtics, Whit Grosbeck.
Plus $500,000 for the moat that he's installing in front of it.
I'll tell you, that is one of the things I envy the most about any property like that. I would love to have a moat. I don't have enough frontage on my property in Swampscott, but man,
what's
if I could
moat?
Have a moat.
A moat,
like a you know, a body of water that goes surrounds
why'd you
your.
Why tell him? I wish you could.
I mean, listen, what? I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. We don't. Everybody in East Boston doesn't know what a moat is, Curtis.
You don't have a moat over there in Eastie?
No, moats on Princeton and Saratoga Street. Growing up as a kid.
Yeah, well, the electric fence does fine over there. That's how you keep the people. That's how you keep the people away.
Oh, usually that of the Pipples.
come on, you're giving him a bad name, Wiggy.
Well, I have one, so
yeah.
I mean,
well, it's a good one though.
I mean, great, great country where you can go from community organizer to multimillionaire just by being elected president.
Well,
I mean,
I'm in the wrong business.
The president
should
was
follow Reamer. I know he was on the show.
I mean, the President Obama was, I mean, was somewhat critical of those who had amassed who had amassed a lot of wealth.
That's there's a lot of that's a big house, so you know what that means. A lot on the environment.
Yes, it is.
A lot to redistribute there.
There's a lot to redistribute. I mean, I'm assuming it's a greenhouse, right?
I mean, it's got to be given back to the people of on the south side of Chicago. Well, living in a house like that.
Well, so maybe he'll allow people to come and stay there, just random constituents and things.
Maybe.
People from Chicago, they just come stay there for a weekend.
Yeah, I doubt it, Greg.
You don't think so, Wiggy?
I think he's past that point there. I mean, that is a lovely house, though.
I mean, it's a tad bit hypocritical, I think. Too.
But on every politician and president's hypocrites.
I guess they all are.
But
so
do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. This is Mike from New Hampshire. Hey, Mike, what's going on?
Good morning, everyone.
What's up?
Greg, first call to the new show. You guys are killing it.
Well, thank you, Mike. I really appreciate that. It's it's a work in progress, as LB would say, but I'm glad you like it.
So I just wanted, rather than make a comparison to Hernandez, why not make a comparison to the whole Josh Gordon situation? Rather than the Patriots, you know, reacting badly to that, don't you think they're just kind of let the league handle that?
You're talking about Patrick Chung. Yeah. I mean, my question was a bit theoretical, but my question was, since Curtis is disappointed with the response from Bill Belichick about Patrick Chung, was do people believe that the Patriots need to treat something like this differently than they would have in the past in light of perhaps not enough attention paid to Aaron Hernandez when he was playing for the New England Patriots?
I don't get that. Like, I mean, you look at this Hernandez situation is completely, you know, different and on its own, right? When you look at this Patrick Chung and Josh Gordon situation, and Patrick Chung still there's nothing that's really similar to the Josh Gordon situation, because we've known about Josh Gordon's past, right?
Yeah.
We've known that he had issues and you know, he was struggling with some of his addiction problems. With this Patrick Chung situation, there's still not enough evidence to prove that was his. So I think you have to, if you're the Patriots, you got to be very careful on how you say things. And that's why they come out with these statements that are very generic hey, we're just kind of letting law enforcement handle it. And that's our statement.
Mike, thank you.
All right.
All right, thank you. This is also Mike. Mike, what's up?
Hey, look, I don't know what Chris Curtis wants Belichick to say, because if he spouts cliches, it's almost insulting to our intelligence. And if he opens up about what Patrick Chung told him, then Chris Curtis should never have a problem with Reamer open up about what he told Reamer.
Well, I don't. I'm still friends with him. I didn't want him fired. But yeah. I would say that the fact of the matter is that for people in the media to be celebrating or applauding a person they cover for saying nothing seems counterintuitive to what you would want to do for your job. It makes your job more difficult to have a person like Belichick say nothing.
Who's celebrating?
Yeah,
people, you guys are saying, oh, well, it's fine. They win because of it.
I'm not in the media.
Yes, you are.
No, he's not.
I heard you were on the radio for 28 years somewhere.
28 years. It's a long time. And I look at it because I'm celebrating the fact of what he does, because that's the way that they do win. It's proven. It's proven that when he takes this approach to things, Curtis, this is what we see, the domino effect. I've been with organizations, I play for coaches, that they say whatever. Now the media comes into the locker room, and they're only in there for 15 minutes, and not every guy's used to getting interviewed, and then they say whatever they want. So it almost becomes like, uh-oh, if the head coach is saying it this way, now as me as a player, I could say kind of what I want. We've seen that. And what did we do? We basically, as Pats fans around here, we would come down on coaches like that. That's the reason why the Jets stink, because of Rex Ryan. Look at these players saying this and that. That would never fly with Belichick. That's why they can't win. So we celebrate the fact that he does this. But then when the media or Curtis, people don't get what they want from him, then they're going to try to vilify him and like, why can't he be
from human? 2005 through 2013, the Patriots didn't win a Super Bowl, and they were doing this. Was it?
What do you mean from 2005 to 2013? Yeah, they didn't win a Super
right.
Bowl. But guess what? They were in, what, two Super Bowls?
Well, my point is that all these other teams were doing it differently and somehow won. You know, the Pittsburgh Steelers won two.
You can't compare. Like, you're really going to go down that road like
yep,
that this behavior doesn't work for the Patriots.
I think they win because they're really good.
No,
and they have good players and good coaches.
That's part of it.
It has nothing to do with Belichick saying, look at the statement.
No. What's part of the winning is the mental process that players understand that goes into winning here as a team, winning here as an organization, that there are players that buy into the system. And that's the way they do things. So if they go on a drought for whatever it was, they went on 10 years, they were still in AFC championships. They were still in Super Bowl. Yes, they weren't winning any Super Bowls. But I'd much rather play for a coach like Belichick, who doesn't allow the media to infiltrate the locker room.
You and others, Curtis, just don't like the fact that it's hard to interview the guy and he doesn't give you much. That's what you don't like.
Am I right? That's all it is.
That's all it is.
I just don't like that there's someone who seems to enjoy being a douche to people who are there just to cover him. Like, I'm sorry. Call me crazy.
I got to tell you something. I don't think he enjoys it, because I don't think he wants to talk to the media at all.
I think he despises the media.
Yes, he does.
Mm-hmm. Right. And these people literally lick his feet. They got him a onesie when he had a grandkid. They would do anything for the guy.
Well, that's not everybody. I mean, that's maybe one of the
people he's rude to. Mike Reese, who is a great reporter, really good guy, goes down there, just asks simple questions, and Belichick at times is so condescending.
Well, I hear you on the Reese one, but that ain't much, though. Reese, every now and then, he has to get hit with a little slap. But Reese, for the most part, Bill, I think, respects Mike Reese.
I think he does.
Yeah.
And we've heard about him, once he's done talking, going over to guys and wanting to clarify, a player that he left off a discussion. I mean, I don't think he likes interacting with the media, because he wants to focus on football, and it can really do him. I think he's learned the lesson, maybe learned the lesson in Cleveland when he was, doing cooking shows, that there's nothing good that comes from a long, extensive answer on certain questions.
Well, he was always rude to the media. He was 5-13 as a head coach with the Patriots, and then all of a sudden this guy named Tom Brady showed up, and he was great as a head coach. So, I mean, I don't know how much it is about how he talks to the media.
I think it's more of the, like, what you were saying, Greg. It's more of how he feels, because he's also been around Parcells, he was rude to the media, but in a different way. He said a lot of things, right? And so he's learned and saying, you know what? That's just not who I am. I don't want to give him anything, because I know some of these players will then give the media stuff.
This is Derek, the Steelers fan. Okay. Derek?
Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
What's happening?
He certainly has a lot of experience up in front of the press dealing with scandal after scandal. That's for sure. But I love the diehards already, flipping. This was a setup. Somebody broke into the kid's house. They don't even know what happened. The Patriot way, right, Hilldog?
Yeah. Well,
everybody's doing it. No big deal. Everybody does blow. Right?
I mean,
how we do it up here?
Do you think, really, that Patrick Chung is dumb enough to leave cocaine lying around his house? I don't.
No.
I don't.
Well, no, here's the thing. I don't pretend to know the man. Okay, so I don't know. Maybe he had two strippers in there and he was sniffing it off their ass. I have no idea, okay?
Yeah.
But I do know this. this town reacted to stories like this far different before Billy and the, you know, the crafts came along. Now all of a sudden we're given free pass after free pass since an army of patriots have been popped for drugs or PEDs. Now everyone's doing it. No big deal.
Yeah, but every player, Derek, gets popped. I mean, I don't think when you say passes, like who's getting passes? Like I'm saying, every player, like there are a lot of players on a lot of teams. The Steelers, we've seen that. Montavious Bryant.
Oh, no question. But so, not every other fan base.
But we don't complain.
Acts like, you know, their crap doesn't stink in this bull crap that they go with.
You didn't defend Montavious Bryant for the stuff that he did? Or you didn't defend Antonio Brown when he was there?
No, I didn't. I did not. I absolutely did not. I call my team out all the time. They should have won more. Their personnel department, if I was in their front office, I'd punch Mike Tomlin right in the throat. Okay? They're a bunch of idiots. And Montavious Bryant, and we're going to be better this year just because Brown and Bell are out the door. That's the difference.
I mean, think about how many people defend Ben Roethlisberger.
Hold their team accountable.
What about
in Pittsburgh?
That's a great question.
People have buried stuff like Nicky the Rat Cazier, you know, all the PED guys from Izzo on up.
A Steelers fan talking about PED guys the entire 70s. Jesus.
Well, where were you on Big Ben? When the Big Ben incident
don't
happened.
Act like you don't know where I was. I was on your show almost every day. So please, okay? Here's another great example of a guy who was never even charged, but up here, he's Roethlisberger.
Yeah.
But if he was a patriot, we'd have clown shirts and poor us, and they hate us because they ain't us. Please.
Derek, thank you. There's Derek the Steelers fan. Very understanding, that guy, when it comes to the attitude here in New England. This is Steve. Hey, Steve, what's going on?
Hey, yo, man. Just Steeler fan, that's all you really need to know about him.
Yeah.
But listen, we all know Patrick Chung just likes the smell of cocaine.
Well, I mean, that is
we're still using that joke in 2019,
that is,
huh?
That is possible.
Is that a dad joke?
That's possible. All right. Well, Wiggy is here.
He likes the smell of the yayo.
Cocaine is a hell of a drug.
I mean, if it improves.
What's cocaine smell like? Somebody tell me.
What's wrong with your jaw?
I know. I mean, if I didn't know better, based on how long Wiggy talks for, I would be very suspicious
of the yayo.
I would be very suspicious of your habits if I didn't know better.
Nah, man, ain't no cocaine for me, man.
No.
After it got Len Bias, that was it.
That was it.
You ain't gonna get me on it.
All right, Wiggy is here. Yesterday, we interviewed Jeremy Piven when he came by, and we're going to play that for the first time coming up. So our interview with Jeremy Piven, and at some point this morning, we will be joined by Julian Bubs Edelman on The Greg Hill Show.
This is The Greg Hill Show on WEEI.
It is Wiggy Friday or whatever we're calling it.
Right, where's the hip-hop beds?
Well, I know. I mean, listen, we'll get some for you.
Ken's not here, that's all. That's true. J.A., man, what's up with the hip-hop beds?
Before the show ends, we'll get you some hip-hop. Or maybe some Jay-Z.
Well, you know what? He's right now, he's kind of down in the black community.
Is he persona non grata, Jay-Z?
Is he untouchable, is what you're saying?
No, do you know what persona non grata means?
Grated cheese.
No, you don't.
No, I don't know. I've heard it before.
I
want to say it's untouchable, but
it means is he unwelcome?
Why don't you just say is he unwelcome? Why you gotta say persona non grata? You're trying to make yourself sound smart?
Trying to mix things up a little bit.
No, I think what happened with the whole Jay-Z thing is he's definitely looked at kind of sideways a little bit, you know, that you ever heard that term, like, I'm looking at you sideways because you're in bed now with the company that you said, hey, we need to not be down with this crew, and the whole Jermaine Dupri thing wasn't a good look for him. I don't know if you're familiar with Jermaine Dupri.
Of course I am, Wiggy.
But the NFL offered him the same deal, and Jay-Z told him, turn it down.
Yeah.
So it's not a good look.
You think he sold out the movement?
I'm not going to say he sold out, but he definitely he bent a little bit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Do you think that he recovers? I mean, do you think he's lost the support of a lot of his fans?
He should have linked himself up with Kaepernick in this NFL deal. If you were going to do this NFL deal, you should have did it with Cap, and Cap should have been part of it in some way or some form.
Because everybody owes Colin Kaepernick something.
No, but it's like, I mean, if you're going to defend this guy, right? If you're going to sit there and say, we stand with Cap, I'm wearing his jersey on SNL and this kind of stuff, and we don't need the NFL, but then you're kind of like saying, all right, well, it ain't about nailing, it ain't about Kaepernick having a job.
Yeah.
Well, that's part of it, though. Like yeah. That's part of what this whole thing turned into. So that was my biggest thing with him is like, you should have at least talked to him, gone on, see if he could have came on board and let us know, or at least said there, you know what, I believe that Cap is being blackballed, but I'm going to try to work with the NFL and see if we can, figure this thing out.
Yeah, I don't think it was his duty to stand up there declare. No, it wasn't his duty or his obligation, or nobody chose him to stand up there and say, we're done kneeling. I mean, I think that's the issue, I don't think that was Jay-Z's statement to make. I think that's a statement to be made by the players who are doing the kneeling.
Yeah, I understand that, but yeah. I think it's his obligation to link himself up with Cap in this situation, because Cap is basically the reason why you're working with the NFL is because of Kaepernick taking a knee.
On the show this morning, in just a little bit, we interviewed Jeremy Piven yesterday. We will play that for you, but right now, time for this.
It's time for...
Good morning.
The news.
Good news out of Orlando, Florida. Dale Earnhardt died.
With your host...
I've just been handed an urgent and horrifying news story.
Danielle Murr.
Because I am good at three things. Fighting, screwing, and reading the news.
Brought to you by the Northeast Men's Clinic.
There's more good news today.
On Sports Radio WEEI.
At the Northeast Men's Clinic, they specialize in the sexual health of men. Learn more at northeastmensclinic.com or call 617-793-5000.
Heads up, if you're living in Newton, there's a python on the loose, not code.
Really?
Yep. There's a Burmese python that got loose. It's somewhere between 6 and 8 feet long, and it's been crawling somewhere throughout a neighborhood. The owner of the snake lives on Jewett Street and said, don't worry, the snake ate right before it got out, so it should be docile for a little bit.
That's not comforting, really.
No,
I mean, what is 6 to 8 feet long?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Jesus.
What did it eat? I mean, would it have like 14
rodents,
rats? Or
probably.
Like,
yeah.
Small kind of dog, it sounds like.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know. So Dominic Fazio is a Newton resident.
I've never come in contact with an 8 foot long anything. I don't think I want to.
Samesies. Samesies. So, the Animal Rescue League said that the snake will be out during warmer periods, but as it turns cooler, it's going to start snuggling up to, like, house foundations and whatnot, so people just be aware if you're pulling weeds and all of a sudden you see a python.
So, what do they want us to make sure if you do happen to stumble on across this snake, what do they want us to do?
Run?
Call the authorities. Yeah.
Somebody please get video, because I know there's going to be that white person who loves animals who's going to stumble across this snake.
Why does their race matter?
Oh, it's because. Let's be honest.
What are we going to be honest about?
It's because it's part of it. When you're talking about people going up to snakes,
yeah.
Show me the last time you saw a black person try to help out a snake. On their house.
I can't remember seeing a white person try to help out a snake. I don't know.
I guarantee I could find one on YouTube. Hey, Martha, let's help this snake out here.
The people get these exotic pets and then they don't take care of them. Right. And then they escape and they're...
And then they dump them.
Yeah, yeah.
I just found one, Samuel Jackson with snakes on a plane.
Well, I didn't say, I bet the owner of the snake was black now. They love the exotic pet.
All right. Well, if you live in Newton, make sure you warn the household help that there may be a python when they're taking the trash out later on for you today. Yes.
Uh-huh. I went off for a couple of minutes yesterday about this ridiculous Instagram thing that everybody keeps reposting that means nothing. And the man in charge of our nukes got duped by it.
You're kidding me.
The nukes.
The guy who's in charge of our nuclear weapons?
Yes. Energy Secretary Rick Perry fell for the hoax and reposted the Instagram does not have my permission to jubba, 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 jubba.
Oh, boy. Oh, that makes me nervous.
So everybody called him out on it.
Yeah.
And he kind of backtracked a little bit. He deleted his original post. And then you've probably seen there have been the subsequent ones saying, like, I give Instagram permission to post my dachshunds and this for my ice cream and my food. So he posted one of those and tried to make a big joke out of it. But people are not... not happy about the fact that the guy in charge of the nukes is reposting a scam graphic.
It's a little bit alarming.
It is very alarming.
I would say it's a little bit alarming.
Now, this is how creepy is it. There's a literary agent that reports that Prince Andrew once got a foot massage from a young woman at the residence of Jeffrey Epstein.
Had he been participating in some kind of a 5K or something? I mean, was there was there a legitimate reason for the foot massage?
Doesn't seem so.
There was no race.
Let me describe to you what happened here, because this is very creepy. So,
it's creepy AF. And first of all, why hasn't? I mean, I get it. He's a member of the royal family, but why hasn't Prince Andrew been dragged in and interviewed by the cops about Jeffrey Epstein?
Anybody that hung around that dude should have been interviewed.
Don't you think, Wiggy?
Oh, you know that dude's behavior was shady. I mean, if you hung around him and you did stuff with him and you partied at his whatever that island he had.
Pedophile island?
Yeah, you definitely knew. Like
Orgy Island or whatever they called
it? Somebody should have been, you know, blacking him out a long time ago.
Yeah.
So there's this writer, Yevgeny Morozov, and he has a literary agent by the name of John Brockman. And there's some emails that have gone back and forth between these two. And we're hearing about this in a piece in the Guardian newspaper because the writer has been pressing the literary agent for clarification on Prince Andrew's involvement with Epstein. So he cites this email exchange that goes back to 2013 where the agent wrote the following. Last time I visited his house, Epstein's, I walked in to find him in a sweatsuit and a British guy in a suit getting foot massages from two young, well-dressed Russian women.
Oh.
After grilling me for a while about cybersecurity, the Brit named Andy was commenting on the Swedish authorities and the charges against Julian Assange.
Oh, he's not even using a different name?
No.
I mean, he's...
No.
I mean, you'd think he would at least use a different name, Prince Andrew.
It's absolutely insane.
It's disturbing.
Yeah, it's disgusting.
Everybody, those people who enabled him, now that he's dead, theoretically, those people who enabled him ought to all be dragged into court.
Agree.
And a lot of them ought to go to jail.
100%.
They're probably all on their knees praying every night that he took his own life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Uh-huh.
There's a man and a family that were almost crushed by a bison when they were in a rental car.
Oh.
This happened in Yellowstone.
At Yellowstone?
As these stories often do.
Summer vacation.
They're driving down the road.
Yeah.
Heard a bison goes by, and then one of them rams into the rental car, and spoiler alert, they didn't get the optional insurance.
Oh, my God.
Jesus Christ.
That guy's backup. Oh, don't.
Oh, look at the big one in front of us.
Holy shit. Oh, my God.
Oh,
he's got smoked.
Yeah. Oh, man, there goes some money. Thanks for not taking the insurance.
You always get the rental insurance.
What, were they just, like, sitting in the middle of the road or something like that?
Oh, they're probably feeding the bison. That's what happened. Or they're probably trying to get Instagram photos.
That's probably what happened.
You can go to, what's it called? What's that burger joint? Fuddruckers get you a good bison burger. You ever have one of those?
A bison burger?
Yeah.
I have.
Those are very good.
You like them?
Yeah, I do. I like them.
What's the most exotic kind of food that you
I'm not an exotic food eater.
You're not?
Yeah, no. I don't get down with that at all.
You never had a bison parm sub?
No, I never had a bison parm sub.
You haven't?
I had a bison burger, but never a bison palm sub. No, I'm not the exotic eater.
Wiggy doesn't eat any seafood.
Yeah, my palate is not built for that.
What?
Yeah, I don't eat the seafood.
You don't eat any?
Nothing? None of it?
I know what goes in the water.
What about Clams Casino?
No, I know what goes in the water, Greg. I know what goes in that water that people are fishing in.
You eat hot dogs?
I do eat hot dogs.
Well, then your argument is invalid.
Yeah.
You know what goes in hot dogs?
Well, the hot dogs are not in the water, right?
But yeah, well, sometimes they are. Hot dog water.
So. I don't know about that.
All right. Danielle, thank you.
You're welcome.
When we come back, we got to talk to Jeremy Piven yesterday, and we will play that for you on The Greg Hill Show.
That's all I could think of when I heard the Chunk story this morning. I said, oh, my God.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.